Hey everyone, this is Lori Fetrick, and I have a special announcement right now, and that is this. So really pay attention if you can. And that is, if you go in and you rate and review my podcast, what I'm going to do is I am randomly going to choose one person per month. Yes, one person per month I'm going to grab, and I'm going to have you come on to my podcast, and we're going to do a rapid fire. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. It'll get some audience participation out there, and I want to give back. So this is me giving back to my audience. So please go rate, review my podcast, and I will pick at random one person per month to come on my podcast and do a rapid fire. So thank you so much, and go right now and rate and review. Welcome back to Chillin' with Ice, and I'm your host, Lori Fetrick, and I have a special podcast today. Yes, I am doing it from my home. What are you putting your thing there for, Matt?
I was cleaning some schmutz off my computer. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the intro here. Hey, you might hear some of my dogs squeaking little squeaky toys, but I mean, everybody loves animals. I just brought back a whole bunch of toys from Canada last night. My friend gave me that her dog didn't play with. So they're in there just having a field day. But we've got a special guest on today. I'm very excited to sit and chat with him about everything he's doing. This is Mr. Matt B. Davis, and he is the owner, operator, creator, everything to the Obstacle Media. What is it? Obstacle Racing Media is the name
Perfect.
Of his company. Is the name of his company. And we're going to get into how he got into obstacle racing. He used to be a comedian. I went back and watched a couple podcasts, a comedian for 10 years. Are you kidding me? Come on now, Matt. So let's get into this episode of Chilling with Ice. And I am very excited. Matt B. Davis, thank you for coming on Chilling with Ice this morning with me.
Thank you. We've become like fast friends. I had you on my show when the big doc came out. And we're buddies now.
I know. And actually, Nitro, Dan Clark introduced us, didn't he? As a matter of
fact. Yes, because I had met him in LA 5 years ago, maybe. Yeah. And so, yeah,
it was old Dan. It was from his obstacle course. Am I correct?
Well, it's funny because I never met him when he had it. He had it back in 2011 and 12, and we never met then. But I think I'd connected and we just stayed in touch. And then I finally visited and interviewed him live from a gorgeous hotel that I was staying at that someone put me up in. And he was very impressed. I remember that. He was extremely impressed with the very nice hotel I was staying in.
Hey, he's
on Sunset.
He's a hard guy to impress. On Sunset. Oh, there's some good hotels on Sunset.
That's what I'm saying. This one, it wasn't there when I lived there, but apparently it's gotten very zhuzhy over there. It was like down the street
that
from the comedy store.
Right there, zhuzhy.
Yeah, zhuzhy. Come on, you know that word.
Zhuzhy. Is that a word?
It is if you're an old Jew. Zhuzhy, yes. I'm an old Jew.
You don't look like an old Jew. So tell me, God, how many years ago did you live here?
So it's crazy to think how much time has passed, because I was like, oh, yeah, I just left from L.A. But I was there. I came in the fall of 1999, which is crazy to think about how long ago that was now. And I left 2005, maybe six.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I started doing stand-up in 96 in Boston, and then I moved there 3 years later. So. You know how it goes with time.
Oh my God, it goes faster as we get older. What's that all about? That's what I want.
Right, but you also, like, I'm sure when they were talking to you, like for the doc, and you're like, what year was that? And
yeah.
They're telling you, like, oh, that was 85. And you were like,
I still
really?
Don't even know what year I really started Gladiators. I mean, it's like late 80s, early 90s. What year was that again? But so how long did, I mean, were you born and raised in LA or where were you born and raised?
So I was born in Boston, and then my folks moved down here to suburbs. I lived a very suburban life in the late 80s, early 90s. And then in 96 is when I started stand-up, and I knew that Boston had like a better scene. And then it was like the move was to go to New York or LA right after that. And so I chose LA, and I'm glad I did. It's where I ended up meeting my wife, but that was many years later.
Dude, I got to ask this. Why comedy? What made you go into...
Because I'm hilarious. What are you talking about?
You're funny. I mean, you're funny looking, but I mean, come on.
Listen, my friends always said, like, you should do stand-up. And I worshipped comedy. And you have to understand, for the folks that are listening, like, it's a very different world. If you weren't on Johnny Carson or you didn't have an HBO special, we didn't know who the fuck you were.
Yeah.
So this world of everybody's got a podcast, and there's like, I just looked at that Netflix is a joke fest. It's like 80 comedians who all have their own specials and huge platforms. That didn't exist. So like, we like I remember seeing George Carlin live a few times.
No way. Like, that might have been awesome.
Dude, he was the best. And I grew up on, not fun to say now, but Bill Cosby records. I mean, I just like, to me,
oh my
that
God,
was like,
so did I.
Right? Because that's what you did back
age?
Then.
Are we the same age? Are we kind of close?
I think you're older than me, but I won't say anything.
Whatever. Whatever. Yeah, my parents used to listen to Bill Cosby.
Right.
And
so,
oh my God, I remember one of his skits on the thing, and it was something about, oh my God, I got to go back and listen to that. Those were fun albums.
Right. Back when people listened to albums. And yeah. So I finally did it I did one or two gigs in 95 here, but I moved to Boston, and that was really the start. And that's all I wanted to do. That's all I wanted to do. So I lived that broke artist life of, you know, going on the road and doing open mics. But I wouldn't change it for anything. I mean, if you're in your 20s and 30s and like you want to go for it, go for it. And especially like go to LA, go to New York, like take the chance, because I have zero regrets about that stuff.
See that? I mean, it just sounds like so much fun. I mean, was comedy fun? Was it hard? Was it like, I did hear the interview. I listened to the interview, by the way, on the way home, on the plane ride. Maron, sorry. Yes. And it was good. I mean, I really enjoyed the interview.
It was pretty intense, dude.
Yeah, it really was. That was great. But it's like that back in that time, I mean, being a comedian and I mean, hitting the road, and you're like, oh, I didn't really work that much. I was like, you know, when you said you didn't really put the effort that you feel like you should have put in.
Yeah. And I think that's when I look at that time in my life, it was going fine. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I brought this up on his show. And by the way, go listen to that, people, if you want to.
Yes.
Go
Where
listen to me on Mark.
Again? Tell me
on Mark Maron. WTF came out in December. I think it was December. I can't remember now. Anyway,
I think it was. That's what I heard.
It was like the last episode of the year. Go find it. Yeah. It's easy to find. Just Google my name and WTF with Mark Maron, and it's a bumpy ride, but strap yourself in. But
that's what makes it so fun, though.
I found this old journal, and I was reading it, and it's like, reading it now, I was doing great. At the time, nothing was fast enough, because I was reading it, and it was like, okay, I just moved to Boston. Okay, I just did my first open mic. Okay, I just got my first paid gig. Okay, now I'm opening for this guy. Like, all this stuff was happening the way it should when you work hard. And meaning the same advice that you would give if anyone wanted to be an actress, a stunt person, a musician, like, show up, do a great job, be courteous to people, be a good guest, you know, all that stuff that you would say in everything.
Right.
And I did all those things in Boston, and then somehow lost it. When I moved to LA, somehow I had more of a chip on my shoulder about it when I'd only been doing it like 4 years.
How old
were
you?
I was 27 in 1999, so early 30s.
Okay.
And stupidly had a chip on my shoulder. And if I was just sort of head down, humble, and not like, fuck those guys, why is that guy getting a TV show? Like, all that stuff, right?
Were you like, I'm the shit? I don't understand why I'm not getting gigs.
Every comedian thinks
everybody.
That. Well, that also with massive insecurity and massive, I'm not good, right? Just like kind of the typical, that thing, right?
Were you funny?
Was I funny? Listen, you've spent time with me. Like, We were laughing on the phone the first time I ever called you. So I think, you know, I'm a funny guy, but it's weird to say everybody thinks they have a sense of humor, right? Everybody thinks like nobody thinks they're bad in bed. Nobody thinks they're not funny, right?
Really? Even though, really? People actually think they're bad. I mean, really, people actually think that? Like, am I bad in bed?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Nobody thinks that. Everybody thinks they're the life of the party in bed. Everybody thinks they're funny. Hilarious.
Isn't that funny? And then you're like, really? You kind of suck.
Right. Especially guys, big, dumb guys, right? We're very, whatever. So anyway, so I look at, it's not even like there's any specific opportunity I can think about other than I didn't have the same gung-ho attitude and I just didn't know how to do it. Like, I just didn't know how to put it together in a way that I have friends that did and that either got, you know, writing gigs or got acting jobs. And I just, to me, it was all just big and scary. You know what I mean? It was just all just so big and scary.
Interesting.
I mean, how old were you when you got Gladiators?
27, 28-ish, somewhere.
So, and when did you start? Like, well, no, you were just like in the gym, right? Being a great gym person.
I was just a bodybuilder. I wanted to compete. I was going pro. I mean, in my mind, I was going pro, you know? And it's funny that when you were just talking about how you were like, you know, why did they get this special? And why didn't they get this? And why didn't I get this? Absolutely. This is like the normal conversation I think everybody has. Even when I was in bodybuilding, I'm like, why aren't I getting covers? Why aren't I doing this? Why aren't they choosing me? You know, what the hell is wrong with all of them? And then I look back. And I'm like, holy shit, I was so hard looking. You know, no wonder they didn't want to put me on the cover. You know?
You didn't look, you mean feminine enough?
Yeah, I was just, you know, at that point in time, think about it, that's when the mullets were in. And I look back and I laugh, you know, because I was not the cover material, but in my mind I was, you know? But I was 27, 28, you know, going for Gladiators.
Why do I remember you as having big hair back then?
I did. I had kind of like the mullet looking style when I first went on. And then they had a makeup artist come in and go, oh my God, can you help her?
You look way too butch. You look way too butch.
I was way too butch at the time. And so, you know, that's when I got, you know, the perms were in. Come on, all big hair and shit. It's like we all walked out of Texas. Yeah. But yeah, I get the cocky attitude, not the cocky attitude. You're a confident guy. I mean, I'm a confident female. And so I don't know if it's really cocky. It's just, we're maybe a little overconfident at the time.
Well, I think at any, you want to be successful in anything, a level of confidence is key.
Mandatory. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's knowing how to play the game and knowing how to be humble and still like know how to work hard. Like, hey, I'm gonna give you the best of me in this time. And then if it goes well, it goes well. And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Right.
But I hadn't learned that as a young man. I think I just, like I said, I think underneath all of that, I was too desperate. And when you're desperate, they can smell it on you and they never choose you.
Oh God. Yes, absolutely. So when did you decide I'm done? I quit. I'm out. I'm going to go into something else.
Well, the weird thing for me is that day actually never came. I had started, I was living in LA, and in Boston, I was just had straight temp jobs, right? Like go to the office 9 to 5, do whatever bullshit administrative assistant work or whatever 1,000 temp jobs I had. And I was pretty good at that, right?
Like, can I ask you one thing? And I want to hold this thought because I want your story to go, but I want to know the worst job you ever had.
The worst job I ever had. And by the way, you can do that all because I'm the same way. I'm totally all over the place. I worked this temp job where, again, it's like hard to explain to people that like in 1995 or 1996 or 97, you could be in an office that still didn't have a lot of computers. Like everybody was online, but it isn't like now.
Right.
So I remember I had to work for a publisher. And I was in this office with this old man who'd worked there probably his whole life. And all I did was like match the name on the check with against some weird ledger. It was just like in this tiny room with no windows. And he was like, okay. I think he was Polish or foreign, or he was like, okay, little brown, $9.79. Okay, here's the next one. And like 8 hours of that.
Shoot me now.
Right.
Oh my God.
So yeah, probably that, if I had to think about it.
All right. So you were out doing temp jobs. You were doing all kinds of different things.
Right. So then I go to LA, and same thing, similarly. I'd actually was a PA at a couple jobs, and I think about it, and total sidetrack, but I think had I been smart about it, I think I could have been really good at production. And like, there are people who start at PAs and work their way up because they're sharp.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think I could have been one of those people. And I think about that for my kids, because we live in Atlanta now and a lot of stuff is shot here. But I was a great PA, right? Because mm-hmm. I was excited to be there. And it was like problem solving. And they kind of like, hey, go do this. Come back. We need this for the next scene, whatever. So I did a couple things like that. But then there was I was at the Ice House in Pasadena, which I'm sure you've been to.
Oh, yeah.
You've probably been there as a consumer, and they probably had you do something there for the Silly Gladiators. But anyway, there was a flyer up that said, we need funny people to try out for this job. And so I tried out for this job where like you just did improv and like tell us a joke, whatever. And they're okay, we're going to hire you for $25 an hour, which I was thrilled, right? That's huge money in 1999.
Yeah.
And we were going to promote the show Iron Chef. Oh. And we went to these different events. And we passed out flyers like, be sure to watch the big premiere of Iron Chef. And we wore the hats. And it was so, oh, look, the hand raise icon finally worked for me. It never works.
Oh, never saw that.
It's okay. And I went and did it. And we went to kind of the typical places. So you go to Hermosa Beach, you go to Hollywood Boulevard, you go to all these different places and do what they call guerrilla marketing, or we got an agreement to be there, right?
Of course.
And it was the most fun promotion. It was really fun. And while I was doing that, I was like hearing them talk about the jobs they were doing. And the one girl was like, oh, I've got a promotion for Dentine next. And this other guy was like, oh, I'm working for Pepsi next. I was like, what are you guys talking about? They're like, this is work. This is a whole thing called promotional work.
Hmm.
And I was like, this is awesome. And I started getting those jobs. And that's how I paid my bills for a long time. And then somewhere along the way, this woman said, hey, I'm really stuck for people. Can you help me manage this event and maybe get me a couple of your friends? I was like, yeah, sure. And so I called my friends and we did it. And then I did that a couple of times. And then some reason it occurred to me, like, what if you were the company? What if you were the staffing company?
Mm-hmm.
And I literally, this is my lesson for all entrepreneurs. I literally Googled, how do you get a tax ID? Okay. And then that's free, right? How do you open a business banking account? Okay. That's free. And that was it. I went to the bank. I got that first big giant checkbook with the big long checks.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I started cold calling these companies to try to get business. And I just remember I looked at like the calendar and I was like, wow, I haven't been on stage in like 6 months. I guess I'm not a comic anymore. And that was it. That really was it.
Interesting. Wow, that's really, I mean, you just transitioned without even realizing it.
Yeah, there was never the
big... So there was never a, I'm done. I'm not going to do comedy anymore. Screw this shit. I'm out. It was nothing like that. It just transitioned into another phase of your life.
Yeah. And I think I might have gotten one or two more gigs after that like friends called me and did. But yeah, I was done. And I always thought, like, somewhere in the back of my mind, I think I always thought, like, maybe one day I'll return, like I'll do like a one man show and tell my story and blah, blah, blah. And then we're kind of skipping ahead. But 10 years ago or 12 years ago when I started podcasting, this fuels all my creative juices.
Right.
What I do now.
Right.
But yeah, but I, like I said, I have no regrets. I love stand up. I got to see the country. I was late 20s, early 30s. So I had a lot of fun. You know what I mean? I could never do it now. People say, like, do you want to go back now? I'm like, I go to bed at 9 now.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ever wish for an extra hour in your day? I get it. The question is, time for what? I'm always thinking at the end of every day, oh my God, where did the time go? Can you imagine a life where time was unlimited? What would you do? Discover the power of prioritizing what matters most with therapy. It's not just about finding more time. It's about finding what truly matters to you. Unlock the secrets to a more fulfilling life. Embrace your priorities with therapy because your time is worth it. Make every moment count. Start your journey now. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ice today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ice.
Let's get into this obstacle course racing. I mean, it's fascinating. And to be honest with you, I don't think you know this, but before Mr. Dan Clark Nitro started his Gladiator Rock and Run, I was creating a Mud Buddy Run type obstacle. And I was starting it here in LA because I saw the potential of how these things progress and how people compete and, you know, and how you can make money doing these obstacle courses. And I was like, count me in, I'm ready. And I hired an event planner. And I mean, I was going, I was on my way. Something stopped me. Something happened. Next thing I know, Dan's calling me, picking my brain. Didn't know why he was picking my brain. Next thing I know, he has a fucking Gladiator Rock and Run out there. I go, oh, now I know why he was picking my brain, you know, but it's fascinating to me, these obstacle courses. So how did you get into the obstacle course racing side of it? Did you do them yourself?
Of course. Of course.
How were you? Were you just kicking ass and taking names?
Or I was not kicking ass and taking names, but I learned really quickly, like, who I was and what I could bring. Right. So 2012, I do my first Tough Mudder, my first Spartan. I go to this thing in Vermont called the Death Race. There's these amazing people there. And I was like, I want to talk to more people about this. And there was maybe Spartan had their own podcast, but it didn't last very long. And again, this is not like when everybody that you know, everybody listening to this show that has their own podcast, right?
I mean, that's how I started. I wanted my own.
Right. No, but I'm just saying, like in 2012, right.
Nobody
people
was
didn't yeah. people didn't have them. Like I had to explain to people what a podcast was.
Absolutely.
I had to explain to them what obstacle racing was, and I had to explain what a podcast was. How do I get it on my phone? Do I need an MP3 player? It was not a thing.
Right.
But it seemed fun to talk about the sport. And, you know, sometimes you just figure out what you're good at later in life. And it turns out that I'm a better host, presenter, interviewer than I am a stand-up comic. Like that's, if I had leaned into that role sooner, then maybe I could have been a success, because there are people that do that. They do TV warm-up. They MC conventions, like good money in that.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And that I would be really good at, because I love comedians and I love an incredibly well crafted joke. Right. But that's just not what I'm best at. Mm-hmm. Like I can do it, but it's not, this is just so much more fun to me. Right.
Right.
So,
talk to me about the type of person that does these obstacle races.
Oh, sorry. We're going back to obstacle races.
Yeah, go back. I know.
So I started, there just wasn't a lot of people covering it. And so I did the races and then I would talk to the elite athletes who won the races and they knew I was the real deal because I was out there with them. Right. Mm-hmm. And as time has gone on, I do them less and less, but I still go. And I just kind of run for fun. I don't try to compete. Like I used to like try to like see how good I could do in my age group and all that stuff. But because obstacle racing, you can truly do for fun. Mm-hmm. You slow jog. Most people, they're not running for 5 miles. They're slow jogging. You're talking to your buddies. You help each other over a wall. You fall in the mud. You laugh. It's a good time, right? Or you get really serious and be like, hey, man, I really want to like win in my age group or beat my time from last time or... And you do truly meet all kinds. No matter what race I do, it happened the other day. I'm on this big giant wall, this big giant, cargo net. And I'm at the top and I was stopping to like, you know, I had my little GoPro and I was taking video. And there's this woman who's like not a small woman, right? And it's really scary for her to get all the way up and get that leg over. And I got to, like, her friends were down below cheering, and I was just like right there. And I was like, hey, man, you got this. Just like, all right, put your leg right over. And like, she did it. She looked at me like deep in the eyes and said, thank you. And like, that's it, man. Like, that always happens. It never doesn't happen if you're paying attention, that you will see somebody out there, some person who's like either 80 years old or not that fit or missing a limb. And that's like, dude, this shit is awesome. And it gets people out in a way that few things do. And it's the community that I've gotten in. Some people find community through church or through their gym or whatever. And this is where I found a great community.
That, I mean, it is. It's so much fun to watch. I've personally, believe it or not, I've never done one. I've always thought, oh my God, they look like so much fun. And then I'm also the extreme person that goes, okay, screw the local ones. Let's go on the Great Adventure. You know, right? One of those kind of shows. You know, I know you have to try out for those, like, what is the one called to where it's like, they always have them. You have to go through the forest and then you go, you know, rappel down a waterfall.
That's adventure racing, which OCR kind of has its roots in, but that's kind of a different, it's kind of a different vibe.
Okay, so have you ever done one of those?
I've not done one of those. I have friends who've done them. I've thought about it, but I've never quite done one.
So when you think about it, do you weigh the pros and cons? And I mean, is this something that is it? Do you say no because it's just too hard, or is it too dangerous, or it's just crazy?
Well, it's interesting because this is what I do for a living, but I also stay fit myself, or attempt to.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, what am I doing this year on the calendar? This one I'm going to because it's a big championship and I want to cover it. This event I might get covered to do some paid to do some media. This one I just want to do for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done ultra marathons. I've done 24-hour World's Toughest Mudder. I've done just regular half marathon. Like, I've just done a lot of races, right, over the course of the last, since 2012. And so it's really like, what do I feel like training for? What do I feel like doing? And that one's just never made it. It's not never. It's just not made it. Like, I was supposed to do the Rock and Run, right, in 2012 when it was here in Georgia. It's the only time it was here. And I was out of town that weekend doing another race. So I didn't get to do it. So now I'll never get to do it. RIP Rock and Run.
So going to your, you know, how many events do you put on per year?
Well, I don't put them on. I do the media stuff, right?
Sorry, you do the media stuff. So you don't put them on.
So I go to less and less, again, just because I've slowed down a little bit. It's the 26th of March. I'll be 52 in 2 weeks. So are we the same age or no?
Oh, I'm right next to you.
Okay, good. So.
Whatever.
What was I going to say?
So, I mean, 52, you're still in good shape. You can do all of these runs. I mean,
I don't know, dude. Like, the recovery part is the worst part for me.
Really?
Going on. I mean,
not even training for it and getting, I mean, you got, are there certain runs that you just go, okay, holy shit, I've really got to train for a few months for this.
Yeah. I mean, when I did, there's any of these ultra marathons, we're going to be on your feet for 8 or 12 hours. Like, you gotta prepare. But I'm saying to you, just in going out for a run now, I recover in a different way that in my 40s, when I thought I was so old, was nothing. And now, like, if I went on, I'd have to run like 15 miles to wake up really sore the next day. Now I can run 6 miles and be sore the next day. Do you not have that experience?
Yeah, I do.
I don't take any, maybe I should look into, I don't know, TRT or that shit, but like,
you mean peptides?
Whatever. Are you taking peptides? I mean, I'm not competing, so I don't care, but it's like.
I mean, I take peptides not for endurance and athletic racing. I take peptides for anti-aging. Let's
right.
Way, you know,
right. Anti-aging.
But like, yeah.
So anyway, that's the part that bothers me about aging is just the fact that I'll like get up and be like, oof. Or like after being on a plane for 3 hours and then trying to walk, I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with me? Like, you just age just sneaks up again. Like, I know,
dude,
I'm talking
to just like you this morning. I was like, can we bump this back a half hour? I flew 5 hours. Most people would be like, big deal. You flew 5 hours. You sit in a seat. But as you do age, you're like, No, that bothers you.
No, I need time to recover. For sure. So yeah, I've just been fortunate enough to find this thing that I really love. And now there's these slight branch of obstacle racing called hybrid racing. There's this race called High Rocks that your people are listening to this are going to hear about, or Decafit. You should go. There's an Anaheim High Rocks. You should go to it for sure.
Tell me what
I could get
is.
You in.
Describe to the listeners what that would be.
Okay.
Like. What would it?
Okay. I want you to listen to as if you're going to do it. All right. Okay. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So you run a couple laps. It's like 1K, right? Then you do the ski erg machine, right? Like for like 1,000 meters. Okay. Got it. Then you run again, 2 laps. Then you push a sled. 2 more laps, you pull the sled. You get it? So there's like 8 of those. Mm-hmm. And then there's 100 wall balls at the end, which is a lot. Oh. But you can break it up as much as you want, right? You can also do it with a teammate and you two break it up. Like, I don't know, do you have a gal pal or a guy pal that like would do it with you?
I would try to grab Dan.
Right?
I'd try to grab Nitro and go, let's go.
Isn't there another somebody that wants to take less spotlight though? Because you don't want Dan hogging all your, like you'll be in the shade. You want a little sunlight too, right?
I know, we fight for it all the time. Sometimes I get the sunlight, sometimes he gives it to me. But I'd grab someone. Let's say, I mean, my girlfriend actually. I mean, she might be up for it and go, okay, let's try this.
Right.
You know, it'd
your
be
girlfriend,
fun.
Girlfriend, your girlfriend, girlfriend, or your girlfriend?
No, girlfriend, girlfriend. I like the quotations that you did. You mean girlfriend or girlfriend?
Well, just,
girlfriend. Like I voice even changed when you said it.
Well, I'm just right. Well, who knows these days?
I know. Yes, girlfriend, girlfriend. I would grab her because she trains. We train together all the time.
So do it together. I'll get you in. I'll connect you. Listen, I'll connect you with the High Rocks people. And I'll say, listen, this lady used to be super famous. And I'll tell them how just kidding. I'll say how amazing you are and how.
I wasn't even going to say anything. I was just going to let you go on that one.
I know. You didn't even flinch.
I know.
How the Netflix documentary is watched by X million gazillion people.
Yes.
And that it would be fun to have you and they will totally have you.
It just sounds like so much work, Matt.
It is. But it's one of those like you'll be done in like an hour and a half. And you'll be like, that was a badass workout. Let's go eat or whatever you do after you.
I mean, I personally would love to rappel down a waterfall and traipse through the jungle.
Well, that's a whole, you got to prepare like for months of your life and you got to buy all the fucking gear. Like, you know, like that's a whole nother thing. You can do that as like a special video series of not so chilling with ice. Go to a High Rocks in Anaheim in like a month. You'll love it, dude. I'm telling you.
All right. I might give it a shot. I actually would. I mean, and even the mud runs look a lot of fun. I mean, like I love, you know, like the cargo nets, like you said, and jumping over things and crawling through the mud. I mean, that sounds fun.
Let's see when the next Spartan is. I think you just missed Dodger Stadium, maybe. Let's go to LA Spartan. Hang on. There are so many Spartan races near you. Spartan race.
Do you still go to a lot of these events and cover them and talk to the athletes? And I mean, is this...
Yeah, so I still go, like I said, just not as many, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, my kids, thankfully, were kind of out of that super little phase that we can actually leave them alone.
Right.
Not alone, but like overnight. But for a long time, it was like, okay, I can't just leave my wife with my kids for the weekend. I actually did that the first 2 years, like 2012 to 2014. Mm-hmm. And guess what? We did not have a very happy marriage. And then I was like, maybe I should be home more. So that's when I first slowed down a lot. But now I can start to kind of get out more. But again, I am an entrepreneur. I'm funding this myself, right? Through advertising, through Patreon. I'm not a rich man. So like figuring all that out, right? Like how much to spend on travel. Like it's just figuring all that out all the time. But like I said, it's not like if I had unlimited funds, I would go to more events, but I still wouldn't go out of town every weekend just because that takes so much out of you.
Right. It really does. What are your favorite events? What are your favorite events to do?
I mean, whenever I think about like the best race or my favorite time, it's always about who I was with and the experience I had with that person. So, you know, I did when my sons were younger and my kids were younger, there's a couple experiences that I got to have with them that I'll never forget. And when the pictures show up in the memories, I'm really happy because now they're teens and they want very little to do with their dad.
Right.
Or or a race that I spent the day with a friend. One of these ultra races, like I said, you're racing for like, could be 5, could be 8, could be 12 hours. And if you decide to do it, then you, it's like shared suffering, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great time. And it's that more than just the specific brand of, oh, this, these people put on the best race. It's just, those are all different things. Like the ones with my kids, we're usually these small mom and pop races that don't even exist anymore, right? Like put on by a local church or whatever. But I went every year and we had so much fun. And then we'd go to a Waffle House or a Steak and Shake afterwards.
So this is really interesting, Matt, because, you know, even myself, you know, just, I mean, I'm an athlete. I consider myself a pretty good athlete. And every time I would hear about any race, any type of race, I'd be like, oh, that's for a whole different kind of person. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I don't know if I could do that. But it sounds to me, as I'm listening to you, it's about the camaraderie. It's
right.
About the people that you're racing with. So maybe it's not, you know, because we always think about, you've got to be an elite athlete in order to do any kind of race like this, but it doesn't sound like that's the case. So if anybody, like, you know, yes, you have to obviously train a little bit to get your endurance up, your strength up, but it's not this big time, huge marathon race.
Right. Usually what people do is they go and then they see people far less fit than them out there and they go, I'm going to be fine. Because yeah, most of the pictures are jacked up, right? Shirtless guys or tank top gals or whatever,
right?
Sports bra, and like, oh my God, they're unbelievable. But then you go there and you go, oh, like, I'm gonna be fine. This is a lot.
Those are only like maybe a handful at the very beginning of the race, and then the
very small people. Yes, very small percentage. So yeah,
that sounds like a lot of fun. So, you know, people listening to this can go, oh, well, wait a minute, my friend has asked me to do, you know, XYZ obstacle race, and I was like, oh, hell no. But it's like, oh, well, maybe I might consider this. It might be a lot of fun.
Have you not even done a Tough Mudder before?
No. No.
Oh, my God. There's so many races near you. There's Big Bear in May. There's San Diego after that. I mean, yeah, San Diego's actually April. Big Bear in May. There's a lot of stuff near you. Vegas isn't that far away from you. That's already happened. But, yeah, dude, there's so many races. You're in SoCal, right?
Yeah. And I would imagine that that's the other thing too. I mean, when you're looking at these races, you're going to be looking at the weather, you know, it's kind of like, is it going to be like super hot, you know, cause it can get that way in Cali, you know?
Right. But they try not to, they try to do it not the middle of the summer for those markets. They usually try to do it in the spring or the winter when it's cold everywhere else. But yeah, some days you might get rained on and it kind of sucks. Oh, you just muted. Or hang on, maybe mine did. Hang on. Maybe that was me.
Oh, hey, is that better?
What'd you do?
I don't know. I hit a button on my microphone by accident.
All right.
See, that's what happens when you're at home and you have your own microphone in your hand. When I'm at the studio, it's like, it's just there. But
I love what you've done with the place, though. You've got for those just on the podcast version, she's got a beautiful television behind her with her logo, which is her signature.
Right. There we go.
She's got a tropical island of some sorts behind her.
That's my Maui wannabe. You know, that's where I really want to be right now, is on that beach. Maybe right. hanging, you know, it's the typical photo of the palm tree that goes out over the beautiful turquoise ocean that you just want to put like a hammock on.
Right.
That's me, Matt. That's where I want to be right there all the time.
And are those blue or black or purple? What are your nails today?
Oh, they're black.
Because you're just a badass chick?
I'm just a badass. Yes. I started painting my nails black just for fun. Okay. Well, I'm, you know, the more autograph signings that I'm doing. Okay. Now we're going way off topic.
Fine.
But the more autograph signings I'm doing, I'm like, oh, I have to go get a manicure now. And I have to take care of my hands and stupid little shit like that.
Dude, if you haven't talked about it too much, I do want to hear about your Florida Man Games experience.
Mm. All right, let's go there for a minute. The Florida Man Games were really, really a lot of fun and interesting. This guy came up with some just outrageous, kind of like just you would never think about type of events. Now, it was his first year. So obviously, you know how that goes. You've covered enough races. The first year is kind of like a hit and miss, and let's see what works, what doesn't work.
I know, but the crowds looked big. Was that just trick photography?
No. The crowds were big. I mean, they had like, I don't know how many spectators. I did ask them something like 4,000.
Yeah, a lot of people. That's for a first time event. That's impressive.
Yes, it was very impressive. So, you know, obviously they had some type of jousting and they tried to make, you know, like a small kiddie pool full of mud, you know, and they, I mean, certain rules they had to, they're going to refine it, obviously, you know, so it's like, you're supposed to hit people with the joust, not like grab them and tackle them into the mud. So that was one thing.
Right.
But then they had like this one at the very end, which was funny because, and everything was Florida. Okay. So the other thing is they had the MC, which was, I didn't know who he was. He was a big, huge influencer in Florida and everything about Florida. And he's funny as shit. But so he was MCing it. And so he'd always break out his flip phone. I was like, what is this flip phone thing going on? You know? But they had like an obstacle race, like somebody had to get out of the back of a cop car, you know, they were in handcuffs and they got themselves out of a cop car and they ran and they threw like a gator through like this, you know, like a Wendy's, because that was a thing, I guess somebody in Florida took a gator and threw it through the Wendy's drive-through window. I mean, you know, who does this? Only in Florida, I guess. So they had that. And then once they threw the gator, this little plastic gator through the window, literally they had, and I don't know how he got this done, but he did. He got a bunch of cops that were actually off duty in uniform to participate in this game. So when the contenders threw the gator through the window, right when that happened, they ran through like these, the tire obstacles. And there was an actual cop running after them to taser them.
What?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Legit tased?
Yeah. Obviously the taser was probably at the lowest level, but the cop would just take off. This whole thing they put together was hysterical. So they did a really good job of creatively,
right,
you know, doing this. They had another game to where somebody like stole the bike, you know? And then they stole the bike and they stole some copper. Everything was about stealing here in Florida. And they were always, somebody was chasing them. You know, these were the obstacles that they were.
And what did they have you guys do besides like smile and look pretty? Were you guys like refs or something?
That was pretty much it. We honestly, they could have utilized us a lot more. And I would love to go back. His name was Pete and he was a great promoter. But I said, use us. You know, let us, you know, we were there to judge the games and to hold the timers and, you know, get the crowd going and stuff like that. So that was actually a lot of fun. But, you know, Dan can MC an event. I could MC an event. And I wish they would have utilized us a little more in that aspect of it.
Right.
But he was very creative in the Florida Man games. And there was probably, I'm going to guess, six different events. And instead of a bucking, you know, the when you go and ride the bull riding, it was a gator.
could anybody do the different events?
Yes. Well, and here was the funny thing. It was called the Florida Man Games. So there was no women participating. And we did say something about that. We were like, dude, come on, you're missing the boat. And he goes, well, I actually opened it up to women. There was only maybe two or three women that actually applied in the team events. And so he goes, it didn't happen this year. So I don't know, maybe next year.
Well, the crowd would have rooted for the women teams much more than the men teams.
100%.
That was a miss.
That was a miss. Exactly. I agree. I don't know. Maybe see, this is where you need to contact Pete and go, here, let me help you with this. Let's get some publicity going.
I would love to go next year. Forget what I had, but I couldn't make it.
So definitely, I mean, that's something that would, it was a lot of fun. He did a very well job. He did really, really well his first event, you know, and I think he was very happy with it. But then there was one thing, check this shit out. I got to say this. I don't know why he did this, but you know, when you get into one of those little containers and there's money, and it's like a cyclone and you're supposed to grab as many dollar bills as you possibly can.
Right.
Okay. He lost his ass on that. And I'm going to tell you why. Because somebody said, put play money in there and whatever the play money is will equivalent to real money. So they put like Monopoly money in there with fives and tens and twenties. It's like, what do you
instead of just ones, instead of ones.
Exactly. And then what these guys were doing is they cheated and they went into this little cyclone booth and they opened up their shirt and let the money flow up into their shirt.
Right.
Some of these guys walked away with 1,000, 2,000.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And we were like, Pete, no, 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 no. You can. I hit mute again. Sorry. You cannot do this. And so we were just like, first of all, they should go into this booth with no shirt on, because they were all guys, obviously. No shirt. You can't collect the money, you know, and you can only grab it. Yeah, they were cheating and they were trying to do everything possible. And I don't know. It was that was one hit. That was one opportunity that Dan and I were just like, dude, you and he even said, he goes, I lost my ass on that. Mm-hmm. So that didn't go over too well. But yeah, I definitely going back to the obstacle course. I have to do one this year.
Yeah, I'll message you. You're gonna have to pick.
Hold on. Let's go. Yeah, I know you're gonna message me because you messaged me with another one. You said, here, you okay? What was that? A month ago, you sent me a text message and said you need to do this event. It was like the All American something something, and yeah, I looked at it.
Yeah,
I was like, Matt, that's for young people.
You think it's for young people, but we're the same age, dude.
I know, but I mean, come on. I'm not in that kind of shape to do something like that.
But that's my whole point. You don't have to be. Listen, I am not very fit right now. I look not as thin as I would like in a t-shirt. Trust me. And so you can do it, dude. Like I said, way less fit people than you or I do these things. So.
And what was my response to you when you sent me that? I go, I'll contact him and see if I can be a co-host. You're like, no, you need to do the race.
Right. If there's a gig for you, I'll let you know that too. Like, oh, you would be perfect for this. But yeah.
You want me to actually race in this thing. What was it? I mean, I could go back on my text message. It was like,
yeah, I can't remember. I probably sent you a bunch of things because I think you're a cool person and you would like doing these things.
I probably would. I mean, there's no doubt. I'm scrolling right now real quickly because, oh, here it is. Here it is. It is the...
She's got to put on her old lady glasses. Here we go.
Hey, you be quiet now. It was this whole Now Casting. America's...
So that was a casting thing that I'm like, dude, you should do it.
It says Now Casting. And it said, okay, so this is what got me, Matt. It said, America's most elite athletes. I'm not the America's most elite athlete
Neither are the rest of the people I'm sending, but they're... You have a distorted view of your own whatever, because you think I'm not as fit as the current Olympians or something crazy like that. For your age, you're incredibly fit. You look great. You have television experience, blah, blah, blah. Right. And everybody loves the fucking nostalgia move these days. So I can get you to the top of the list of that one. I'm pretty sure.
All right, let's do it.
All right, good. That's what I sent you. That's right. I forgot about that one. But see, that wasn't a race. That was a television opportunity for you.
All right. All right. If you can get me on the list, I'll try out for it.
Trust me. If
that was not that long ago. So I'm sure they're still casting.
No, they still are. Cause I just talked to them. Okay. Are you in town the first week of May?
Of course. Yeah. Okay.
Said, of course. I don't know what you have going on. You're a woman about town. You were just in Canada. What were you doing in Canada again?
Canada. I did the Breakfast Morning Show. It's called Breakfast TV. It was their morning show. It was like our Good Morning America. That's what it was. And it was cool because I was on there promoting. I got a kid's book coming out called Playgrounds Warriors. I was promoting, you know, everything that's happening, podcast, you know, possible small, you know, opportunity for the tour, things like that. But and my manager's up there. And so, you know, it's kind of like, let's get together and, you know, hash out a lot of things that are happening right now. So, yeah, I was up there for about 4 or 5 days. Let me tell you something. It is cold as shit in Canada. I don't know how people live there.
I don't know how they do either.
I mean, it was like, okay, it was, here's your idea. The last day I was there was beautiful sunny day and it was 30 degrees out. And I was like, oh my God, it's still fucking freezing. And she goes like this, this is really warm.
Right.
Like, what is wrong with you? You know, Canada. So no, it's way too damn cold up there. But yeah, let's put me at the top of the list on the Now Casting. Let's see. I'll give it a shot. See, it's you that needs to tell me America's most elite athletes. When I read that, all I can imagine is these young 25, 30-year-old girls just kicking my ass and just running circles around me.
Well, first of all, I think, yes, they in many things they would. But again, if it's a TV show, they want some different types. You don't want seven of the same gal.
Okay.
But yeah, okay. I think, yeah, I think, and they might just say, yeah, she's too old. Sorry. But I think you could go try out. So
all right.
I'll send you the thing. I'll connect you with the lady.
If they say that I'm too old, just kind of like do me a favor and not tell me they said I'm too old. Just say that she's just not the type we're looking for.
Right. I would never use those terms. But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
So Matt, so yeah. you've been doing this for a long time though. I mean, is this it? Is this where your future is? Tell me what your future holds.
What does my future hold? Well, like this is what I have said. I want to live long enough that my kids are out of the house and I get to have at least a few years of what life was like before. Okay. Because those of us with kids, like you really do forget. Like I looked at my wife the other day. I was like, do you realize we used to do stuff? Like our life was not this, right? We used to have this one little baby and that life was a certain way. So I want to live long enough. Cause that's the thing. It's like the things you like, what would be super cool? Well, it would be super cool to fly to Colorado for a month and just go for a bunch of beautiful runs there. Right. Cause like mm-hmm. I have friends that live there and but I can't do that. Now,
right.
When the kids are out of the house, if I go, hey, honey, if I leave for a month, do you care? She's like, no, go have fucking fun. Right. So we're getting there.
How old are your kids though?
16, 14 and 10.
Wow. You still have a good 8 years left. Cause
that's what I'm saying. But here's the thing. When the first two are gone, the younger one, we can stick with somebody. Probably it's tough to give people three kids for a weekend, but you can give them one or come to your house and house sit with one.
Right.
I've been doing this, like making it up as I go along since day one. So I never have like some grand plan. Like retirement's never been like I don't really have savings. You know what I mean? I'm just doing my thing. And so because I like my job, I feel fortunate. And yeah, I'm trying to grow these platforms, Obstacle Racing Media, Hybrid Fitness Media. I'm trying to grow them. But I don't need, that's the thing. I don't need a lot. That's the other thing about getting older. Like I don't need a massive house. I don't need flashy cars. Like I just want to travel some, take my wife out to eat some. You know what I mean? I keep it pretty simple.
Isn't that funny how our priorities change as we get older?
Right. Right. And like I said, once they're out of the house and I can keep some of this money and not give it all to them, then yeah, that's what I want. I like to keep it pretty. I used to think I wanted all that stuff, but I want I want serenity. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like I want some peace in my life. That's the biggest goal for me.
Interesting. You're an interesting guy. You're funny.
Thanks.
I'm so glad I met you. And it's so random. And that's the other thing about this podcasting world. If you think about it,
right?
We meet so many people. And most of the time, let's be real. I mean, if it weren't for podcasting, I would have never met you.
Right.
You know, right. There's no introduction there.
Right.
And with the obstacle racing and your comedy and what you've done in your life, and you're a true entrepreneur, you know, I mean, it doesn't, I was listening to the podcast again, let's go back to that. And I was reading about you and I was like, wow, we're very similar.
Right.
You know, very similar. And we all think that we have this private rainstorm and it's like, nobody's like me, nobody, you know, it's like, wow, there's a lot of people out there like me. And
yeah,
it's
and sometimes you just connect. Like sometimes that's happened with people on the show that we end up being like pals or whatever. But yeah, like
You just kind of started stalking me on my text message. So.
I did start. Well, I messaged you on Instagram, you responded, I got your number, and then the first call we had, you were hilarious right away. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna like this person. And and I had so many questions for you about, because again, I'm that age demo that I grew up watching you guys, right? Mm-hmm. And it honestly was bigger watching that documentary. Like it was bigger than I even remember. Cause I think by the end of it, I was like out in the world myself. Right. At the beginning, I was still like a kid and watching it. And you have these vague memories of the show. And of course the jousting. And then I was just like, and then I watched the documentary both actually. And then I was like, oh cool. I get to ask this gal all these cool questions. So thank you for being open to talking to a stranger. And now we're buddies.
You're very welcome. And the funny thing is I had to learn that, Matt, because of the fact that what I mean by that is I had to learn that is, I mean, I would say, honestly, having a conversation with, you know, Crystal Hefner. I mean, again, without podcasting, who the hell? I mean, are you kidding me? I would have never met this woman, you know, but she started talking to me how she responds to a lot of her fans and a lot of her, you know, her messages and everything. And coming back and you know, from the world, you know, way back when, well, we were very protected back then because being a celebrity back then, everybody wanted to know you. Everybody wanted a piece of you. And stalkerness was a big thing. You know, it really was. And so I had to learn in this day and age with all the social media that I to connect and to speak with fans and just normal people and everything. Not everybody is a stalker, you know, but you have to have that, you know, learn that fine line and to read people. And so obviously when, you know, you came along and messaged me, I'm like, oh, he's harmless, you know, and we just started talking. It was beautiful. It was awesome. But I did, I had to learn how to connect with people again.
I can understand that, but I also have to imagine how frustrating it would be for you to be this woman that men on television are like fantasizing about, and they're messaging you or stalking you, and you're like, dude, I don't even fucking play in your team. And like,
well, I get videos, Matt. I get videos of their junk.
Well, I didn't mean, I used the wrong term, fantasizing. I don't, but I'm saying, especially back then though, when like you couldn't come out, right? And like, even still now, there's some people that don't know, but I'm saying like back then, it's got to be such like, just like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, I don't, like, what is happening here? Right.
Yeah, exactly. No, I hear you. It is. And it's not just men, by the way, women. I mean, definitely women are more scary to me than men sometimes, to be honest with you. We can be very devious, very vindictive. We can be very manipulating, you know? And so sometimes the stalkers don't come in forms of the men all the time.
Right. You know what I'm saying though.
Yeah, of course. So the social media thing really changed a lot, but so it's been a great year so far. And I mean, that documentary only came out in June, and now more and more and more people are, you know, getting on my channel and stuff like that. I mean, just like you, they get to know you and who you are and they want to talk to you and they, you know.
Right. And there's people that will not get Netflix for like whatever they, and then they subscribe again because they want to watch something else. And then it appears mm-hmm. and you're like, and they'd never seen it. Right. Not, like you and I, of course, are going to watch it the night it comes out, but many people won't see it. You're going to hear from people 10 years from now that just watched it.
Oh, I know. I'll get a message.
Like an 8-year-old, mine, you know, could watch it when they're 18 and be like, oh, wow, this is a fascinating thing. I did want to ask you, because I know we got to probably go soon, but did you, I don't remember if we've talked about, there is this Australian reboot. Have you had any of them on your show, the new Gladiators?
No, I am. As a matter of fact, it's interesting you say that because I was thinking about having some of the new, it'd be easier to get the UK Gladiators on, to be quite honest with you.
Just for time zone reasons?
I think so, because there was a golf channel in Australia and, you know, people know I play a lot of golf. And so he was like, oh my God, I want to interview you. And he was from Australia. And believe it or not, the time was so hard, right, you know, to get together. It was either going to be like 3 o'clock in the morning, his time, or, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, my time. It was
right.
Really hard. To answer your question, yeah, it'd be a lot of fun to get some of those new Gladiators on the show. I mean, the UK rebooted theirs at the same time Australia rebooted theirs also. I don't know what's happening here in the United States, why they're not rebooting. I think, obviously Vince McMahon was supposed to take it over and then that whole thing blew up. And so I don't know where it's at right now. I have no idea. I don't know if it'll ever reboot here.
As horrible an experience as you may have had with what's the fucking weird, creepy guy's name that took all the credit.
Let's just not mention.
Okay.
But yes.
Okay. Vince has a whole nother thing going on over there. I mean,
yeah.
Wow. So, yeah. Hey, at least you didn't have that.
I know. That is very, very true.
He would be the guy, though. He would be the guy.
He would be, because I believe that he would put on a production like no other production. And, you know, I think that if anybody was going to reboot it, he would be the guy to reboot it. Let's, you know, get past his personal bullshit. but the actual production of the show and the type of gladiators that he would actually bring on, the girls would be phenomenal. You know, the guys would just be insane. And so I can only imagine how that would go.
So for the UK, I don't want to get too deep into this, but okay. for those versions, whoever they have to write a check to, yeah, it just seems like America, it would be the same thing. Like somebody would go, okay, cool, let's do this. And it can't be that expensive.
Matt, come on. NBC, when they took it over, they overproduced it as above and beyond. They put water, they did this. So yeah, I think the production value was really, really high. But, you know, again, let's go back to the basics. It's like obstacle racing. Go back to the basics. Let's not make it so, you know, over the top to where it's like, it's just huge production. It's like, no, let's just give some cargo nets, throw some mud down, you know, let's build a small little wall to jump over. I mean, that's all it needs to be, honest with you.
And don't bring Hulk Hogan. You don't need that guy.
And you need Layla Ali, to be honest with you. Yeah, sorry. She's awesome. But no, you don't need those types of people. Just give me some average, everyday people that can actually hold a microphone and commentate this thing. You would be amazing at it.
That would be phenomenal.
Exactly. That's my point, you know? But that's the whole thing. So I don't know. But yeah, Matt, thank you so much for sitting and talking with me. I do really enjoy conversations that we have.
Amy. You too. Thanks for having me on, dude.
You're funny. And you're like, I was like, Matt, who do you got? You're like, me.
I'll recommend plenty of other people, but you should start with me. Yes.
You are. You're the best. I mean, so tell everybody where they can find you and on your podcast and everything.
Sure.
Like that.
So Obstacle Racing Media is all the obstacle stuff. There's another company called Hybrid Fitness Media. If you can't remember both of those, just go to one or the other and they have links to the other one. And I have a YouTube channel and podcast. I've been podcasting for over a decade, as I mentioned. And yeah, you can find all my links anywhere of those things. I'm personally Matt B. Davis, but I don't post nearly as much personally. So there you go.
I got a question. Why the B? When you say your name and everybody else says your name, it's Matt B. Davis.
That's who I am. It is my actual middle initial, but it kind of works for me as a stage name because there's a lot of Matt Davises in the world. There really is.
So before we go, tell me how you're staying in shape nowadays. I mean, at 52 years old, what do you do? Do you train every day?
My wife cooks the meals, and my wife was a bodybuilder, and now she's just a healthy person that goes to the gym every day. Right.
Okay.
So she trains like a bodybuilder, but she's not a bodybuilder. Right.
Okay.
And we eat super clean, except I just went to get an iced coffee before we talked with some vanilla stuff in it. So there you go. So I cheat.
Cheat?
No. I'm just saying
I had Wendy's hamburger and French fries before I left Canada.
Well, maybe I need to get some of those peptides then, because like I took my son to Popeyes and I let myself have like 3 or 4 fries because like if I eat the whole Popeyes chicken sandwich, I just blow up. Anyway, I run a couple, 3 times a week, and I work out with these thing called RAMs, which are these long, it really doesn't matter what you use, but just something heavy, and I can lunge with it, and I can, you know, do split squats with it and whatever else, right? So that kind of just basic home body. I hate the gym. I like working out in my backyard. At one point, I'll like buy myself a machine and like somewhere to put it, because our house is small, but that's what I'm doing. Running and body weight stuff. That's my jam.
You're not even in the gym whatsoever.
If I visited you, I would love to be in the gym with you and you could show me stuff, right? Yeah. You could show me the fucking, we could do like an 80s montage, right? Right?
That would be funny shit. We should do that.
Do you own leg warmers?
I'd have to go on eBay and find some leg warmers. We could do the, the flash dance? Dance,
right? Jane Fonda, that kind of stuff. Yeah, anyway, exactly. That's what I do.
I can't do it at home. I cannot train at home. I have to go to the gym. I have to. I need to see people training. That motivates me. You know, big, small, short, tall, doesn't matter. I need to see people training. And it's like if I relied on the home, there's no way. There's absolutely no way. And yet, I will promote that all day long. because just like people like you, you can train at home and you hate the gym. So, oh my God, God bless you. That's amazing. All the power to you. No matter what it does or however you train, whether it be at home or gym, it's like I always tell people, just get out and move, do something.
Right.
So I don't know how you do it, but that's awesome. All right. So let's do a race together one day.
All right.
Get your ass in shape.
I'll send you some stuff.
Are you in shape that you can just do it like tomorrow? Or do you have to like plan it for a month?
No, like I said, I'll slow jog it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like doo doo. You know what
All
mean?
Right. We'll slow
Listen,
jog.
Listen, if we can get a sponsor, I would do that Anaheim. I'm going to New York to do a High Rocks in June, but if we find a sponsor, don't you have a new sponsor? Just like get them to fly me out. I'll do a High Rocks with
Oh
you.
No, I was actually going to ask you to find me a sponsor. Don't you have a company called Media? Hello.
I do have a company. I do. Well, together we could probably do some amazing things. So we'll figure it out.
All right, Matt. Sounds good. Everybody, thank you so much. I mean, thanks for listening to Chilling with Ice. Matt, thanks for coming on the show today. I so appreciate it. I mean, a lot of insight on these obstacle races. You don't have to be an elite athlete.
You do not.
You can just have a lot of fun, grab your friend and go for the day, have some good conversation. And oh my God, it sounds like a lot of fun. You convinced me, and I'm not that elite athlete that I thought that, you know, you thought that I was, but Matt, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Matt B. Davis, everyone. And this is Chilling with Ice. And this is where legends live on. Thanks for listening. Please like and subscribe to the channel, no matter where you're listening. You can find it. Obviously, if you're watching this, it's on my YouTube. You're already there. But please hit the rate button as well. Matt, do you ever ask people to rate you? I've got to ask them now. It's funny because nobody rates anything anymore. So I've got to ask people.
I try to remember, but at the end of the day, as long as this is what I say to people, you can steal this if you want. I say, I would love for you to comment, but the best thing you can do is actually tell someone else, because then that's how it grows.
Beautiful. Thank you very much, Matt. Have a great day. Thanks for being on. And everybody, this is Lori Fetrick saying goodbye for the day.
Thank you so much for listening to Chilling with Ice. And don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe, and share wherever you listen to your podcast. Remember to follow us on Patreon and YouTube at Chilling with Ice. And on Instagram and TikTok, you can follow me at lori.ice.fetrick. I look forward to chilling with you next time here on Chilling with Ice.